I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, as we'll wrap up this chapter here this afternoon in our look-see and consideration of this church at Ephesus, there in Asia Minor, on the west side of modern-day Turkey, and in that region. I'm looking at a map here, just get that. I try to keep that in my mind, but sometimes it doesn't stay in my mind. Down there, on, like I said, the western coast of Asia Minor or modern-day Turkey, in the region of Lydia, and that's where that church was. The Apostle Paul, having been there and ministered there and passing through there even a couple more times, it seems, a church that's even mentioned about over in the book of Revelation, we may consider about what's written to them in that next time. But let's look at the content here of the balance of the salutation of the Apostle Paul, and see what the Lord has for us here in this. We took a look at the armor that the Lord has prepared for us, preparation that we need. We need this outfitting with this armor. There are reasons why the wiles of the devil and the fiery darts of the wicked, that we need this. He's wrapping things up in verse number 10, where he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And we need to remember what it says in Philippians, that we, through Christ, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So everything the Lord wants us to do, we can do through him. And we have that avenue and that blessing of prayer, that we can seek the Lord's face. And I tell you what, the time that we have in our men's and ladies' prayer classes, don't count that as a light thing. Count that as a great thing. That's a blessing. That's a blessing that we have. And so, you know, be careful. Don't put things before that. We've got those in the membership of the church. I wish they would enjoin themselves to that. It's good. We help one another in that. We provoke one another to love and good works in that, and meeting together in the services and such. And I'm glad the church has that time. And I pray, Lord, being our helper, we'll continue to have that time. He wraps up about this armor in verse number 18, about praying always. And so let's read there in Ephesians 6, verse number 18. "Praying always with all prayer." Praying with all prayer. I find that wording interesting. Praying to the Lord, petitioning the Lord, with all going to the Lord, if you will, and supplication, that's going on to the Lord on behalf of others, supplicating for others in the Spirit of God, whereby we are filled, watching thereunto with all perseverance and all supplication for all saints. And so it's by the touch of the Lord and the Lord's hand upon us that we will persevere. We need to pray that we'll persevere. We'll need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that we'll persevere and that we'll stand, and having done all to stand, right? That's where he's coming from in that. And it says here, for all saints. And so for one another in the church, other brothers and sisters in Christ that we know of, and that we've been blessed to meet and come to know over the course of the years, other churches maybe that we know of, other brethren that pastor those churches and so on, we pray to the Lord for his help and his blessing. And then verse number 19, he takes this praying always with all prayer and this supplication in the Spirit and this watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He is even kind of redundant in that, but then he takes it and he brings it to himself. "And for me," he said, "don't forget me either, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." He said, when you pray for me, pray that I'll be able to have utterance and in a good, bold way to make known this mystery of the gospel, "for which I am an ambassador in bonds," verse number 20, "that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So even though I'm bound, that I would still be able to, you pray for me, that I'll be able to speak boldly as I ought to speak. And it seemingly from the wording that the apostle is at Rome, I can't remember if there's any other references in the book that kind of tell us that, but he does refer to his bonds. And so it could be that he is there, may not be, but it could be that he is. He certainly knows this church. He's been amongst this church. And so if it is there that he is at Rome, and he's looking to appear before Nero, or even has appeared before Nero, will appear before Nero, as the Lord told him that he would bear the word of God even before kings. That's the reason for him going to Rome. He says, remember me. I'm an ambassador, a representative of the Lord, but I'm bound. But even in that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's go ahead and read the rest of these verses. That ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. And so he seems to be the messenger sent with this letter, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. Okay, that's the reason he's coming to you, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts and tell what's going on with the apostle and to bring this letter to them and that they might be helped in it. Peace be to all the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Love with faith. Isn't that good? I like that. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And so he signs off the letter in this, and we see that. What we'll look at this afternoon is what it says here in verse number 19. A brother some years ago brought this to my attention, and I tell you what, it's a great thing, especially for a man of God. It's certainly appropriate for the people of God, but for a preacher, a pastor, I ask you to pray for me, that the Lord would give me utterance. We all need utterance, okay? We do. And we need to pray one for another in that. But the apostle here, he says, praying always, praying for that, for the blessing of the Lord, the help of the Lord, the perseverance, and praying for the other saints, that prayer of supplication for others. And verse number 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We need utterance. We need the words to say. We need to be able to speak about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that we come in contact with, to not fret or worry about the circumstances or situation. I'm preaching to me, okay? And I need that. I need help with that, to open up and to speak and to tell and to have words, to be given and moved in by the Lord to be able to speak to those round about us. Let's consider, we looked at this passage even this morning over here in Acts chapter 2. Consider in light of what it says there in Ephesians and what the brother asked that the church at Ephesus pray for him about. I wanted to remind you here, and let's look at this passage, this verse here in that context. In Acts chapter 2, let's read here. And when the day of Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, the church was. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, listen, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. For me to speak another language, I would certainly need to be given utterance of the Lord, okay? Or for it to be understood in another language of a person, and this gift in this way, we don't believe is so these days, okay? Now, does the Lord help brethren and their wives that are going to a foreign country to learn languages? Indeed he does, okay? But there's not a miraculous manifestation of this like here, okay? Because why? Because we have the Word of God. That's the reason those gifts were for then, because there were some people that needed to be convinced, okay? The Lord's sanction needed to be, was necessary, that a great sanction was put upon it that nobody could gainsay or doubt, okay? But the Holy Spirit here, he did move to give them utterance in this way that even 17 nations or so of those men that were there, the people that were there, could hear the Word of God, the gospel, the preaching of the saints, the preaching of those brethren. They could hear them in the tongue that they were born in. That's a testimony here, right? And did they do that on their own? That they didn't even perceive that they were going to be used that way of the Lord, did they? So the Lord, you know, he gave that utterance in that need and in that time, right? And of course, it had to be the Lord that did it. But when we're talking about, you know, having utterance in English, you know, we don't need that, do we? Yeah, we sure do. We need it too. And there's no difference. There's no difference in that. And the Lord used that these men, these brethren, these that were there in that day, those 3,000 souls that were saved, they did hear, didn't they? They heard. Well, you know what? We need the blessing. We need the given, the utterance of the Word of God to those that we come in contact with too. We need that. We need utterance. I need utterance. You need utterance. Because see, if we don't tell it, it's not going to be told. And you think about how many that are in our lives that New Testament Baptist Church members saved by the Lord and put in such. How many people that you come in contact with in your life that they have need the Lord, need to be saved, need to be shown the right way of the Lord? How many others of like faith, like the Lord has given us, do they have that they're exposed to? You hear? I know that was convoluted. You've got a witness. You've got somebody in your life. How many others like you do they have that can speak to them? You're the one. You're the one. See, that's the point. You're the one. And so certainly we need to pray, but we need to pray for them that they would hear and believe. But we need utterance. We need utterance. Look over here at 1 Corinthians. This church at Corinth, they had trouble. They had problems, didn't they? They had issues. Were they a church? Yeah, they're still a church. And leeway or allowance of the Lord for us to be sinful and wicked? No. That's not the point. The point is that the Lord is long-suffering, even with His people, even with His churches. And here, this church at Corinth, she had trouble, she had problems, but the Lord hadn't quit her. He hadn't quit her. That's the reason He sent the apostle and gave the apostle to write to her twice, okay? Maybe even more than that, but two accounts that we know of. And look what he says here in his introduction to this book, this letter as he writes this church. Let's read here what he says. And verse number 3 of 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf. So he's thanking God for them, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. They've been saved by the Lord, been blessed by the Lord. They've been put in his church there in Corinth, down in Greece. And he says here, I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, by His gospel, that they have been given to learn all more of what the Lord has done and all that, and bringing to salvation and His work in that and things in the church and such. Verse number 5, that in everything you are enriched by Him, everything, you're being enriched by Him in all utterance. Find that interesting? That in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. The enrichment of utterance does come from the Lord. Now, you and I are responsible to pursue it and ensue it, and how can we do so? Well, we can need to pray. Amen. We need to pray the one that can give it to us. Amen. And the thing is if we don't want utterance, we probably won't pray for it. We need to want it. You and I need to want to be a better witness for the Lord. You and I need to want to open our mouths and speak to sinners of the Lord's power to save. We need to want that. And we need to pray the Lord to give us utterance. And you know what? He's able to do it. He can enrich us with it. And look what's right there beside it. Utterance and knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge of what? If we're talking about knowledge of the Lord, well, how are we talking about, well, what is that knowledge? Well, it's His Word, isn't it? It's the oracle of God. It's the testimonies and the statutes and the history, the account of our Savior that we looked at this morning, last Sunday, that our forebears have preached, and what was preached to us and whereby we've been saved. It was preached then. It's been brought down here to us all the way to our day. That's what we have. We don't have anything new. We've got that to keep on preaching, but we got to know it. We got to have it in us. Somehow, some way, we need to get it in us. So then we have it to give. You know, you hear me refer to it often, where the Lord said there in the book of Matthew and about those that come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Need to learn about the Lord. And yes, there are doctrines appropriate in the church. You know, Brother Mark's doing a study on the family. It's essential. We need that. He mentioned about we need that every so many years. We do. We need that. We need that. There are those coming up in the church. Our children who are younger are getting older. They need to be taught the right way. We need reinforced in it and confirmed in it and made solid in it. There's all those things that are there. But I tell you what, if we don't know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the other, yeah, there's a blessing in them, but we lose sight of what the purpose is. Our purpose is to honor and glorify our Lord and Savior and be a witness of Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so here, he writes to them saying, everything you're enriched, and you're enriched in utterance by the Lord, and you're enriched in all knowledge, and we need to have that. There must be the Word of God, the Lord in us, for us to have something to utter, right? We utter, I hope we don't mutter, mutter, I hope we don't mutter, but we utter that which we know. Amen? Yeah, that's what we talk about, what we know, what's important to us. And so may the Lord help us in that. In 2 Corinthians, here in this second epistle or letter to this church, let's just see what he has to say here relative to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he's talking to them about how the Macedonian churches, I believe, helped and the furtherance of the gospel and the helping the church there at Corinth. And then the apostle, in their blessing and their abundance, is challenging them to be a help to those Macedonian churches. Okay, that's the Macedonian churches are up there on the way. If you're going over to Asia Minor, you got to go north out of Greece. You got to go north out of Greece and up there to the north of the Aegean Sea and then back down over here to the church of Ephesus and other churches in that region. The church of Philippi is up there in Macedonia. And so he's challenging them about that. And he says here, let's pick it up in verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 6. In so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Talking about being, I think, the distributor or the one that would come and carry this back and forth. Verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He said, be a giver, okay? Be a giver. Be a giver. If the Lord's blessed you and there's a need of brothers and sisters, be one that would be charitable and give. They're able to do it. The apostle knows they're able to do it. The next chapter, we apply this verse many ways, but the next chapter in chapter number 9, it ends with that verse number 15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. We take that, and I don't think it's inappropriate to refer to the gift of the Lord of his son, but the context of this passage is that a great blessing of God upon us is that as God gave, by the Lord having saved us and made us his own, put us in his church and blessed us with all these great and wonderful spiritual blessings, that we can be a witness and testimony to God's work and his giving to us by being able to give to others, to give. The unspeakable gift of God that we can give as he has given. Take a look at that and evaluate it in that way. I think that's the context of it. But he says here, he says, you abound in these things, and he commends them and is thankful for it that they abound in utterance. And again, utterance, right after utterance is knowledge. They have a knowledge of the Lord. And so they're abounding in this. It is the Lord that enriches with utterance. It is the Lord that causes us to abound in utterance, and we need utterance. Look over here in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, a parallel verse to this in Ephesians. The apostle, as he writes to these churches, it certainly seems to become a theme with him. He's asking for their prayers. And I think the church at Colossae is a church that the apostle has never visited. Okay, this church seems to be a result of those that had been ministered to and preached to in that region from his ministry, the ministry of others. And this church came about, and the apostle doesn't seem to have ever have visited them, but he's writing to them. And as he is signing off in this letter to them, and we looked at this here recently about Onesimus in Sunday school class, I think it was Sunday. He writes here in chapter 4 about being a master and such as that. And then in verse number 3, let's see what he asked for. Or verse number 2, continue in prayer. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So be prayerful, petitioning the Lord and thanking the Lord, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. So see, the Lord does open up the doors. He's the one that enriches. He's the one that causes us to abound. And so he's the one that can bless with that. He opens the door of utterance. You know, sometimes it is so, and we have to be careful, but sometimes it is so that there's just nothing to say. But then I think with the Spirit of God, and unless we're callous to the Spirit of God, which can happen to us, but unless we're callous to the Spirit of God, we know when the Lord wants us to speak. And we get, if you will, crunched by the Lord when I don't. But sometimes it's that way. There's nothing to say because there's not a door opened of utterance. And the thing is we need to be sober and open before the Lord, that when he does give us to us, we do speak. And the Lord help us in that. But when there is no door of utterance, may we just pray that we would be sensitive, that when there is a door. Now, the sinner that you run into tomorrow at the store, at work, or whatever, does the Lord want you to witness to them? Mm-hmm. He does. I'm of the opinion the Lord wants us to speak to everybody that we come in contact with. Okay, I think that is. You know, to say, well, I'm waiting for a door of utterance there. I say, if the Lord's put them in your life, like I asked you earlier, how many others do they have that's crossing their path that has been blessed like you and me? We're the ones. We can't count on somebody else to tell them. We need to pray, Lord, to give us a voice to speak. Sometimes, and one that I know of, they ask about their desire to be a witness to someone that they knew, and they said, well, they talk all the time. You can't get in a word in edgewise. Well, in those cases, we need to pray that the Lord will shut them down for a little bit, right? You know, and give us that door of utterance. We need a door of utterance in that, don't we? But I mean, in those things, we need to pray. There are particular things to pray for, but the Lord's put them in our lives and us in their lives for that reason. And we need to pray that the Lord would open a door of utterance. He's asking them, he said, with all praying for us, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, that it'll be opened up. That's what the manifest is, right on the truck, that it's opened up and it's all known. If you think about when the Apostle Paul went to Philippi. He went down there where prayer was wont to be made at the riverside. He didn't stay at the hotel waiting for a door of utterance. He went to where he could go. And who was saved? Lydia. And then, as there were those that were there whose heart the Lord opened, Lord saved, they were meeting with them, and they were going back and forth, and and pursuing what they had in front of us to do. That's what I'm saying about those that the Lord's given us in our lives, our families, our friends, our coworkers. They're there. The Lord's put them there. That we need to press and pursue to speak to them. As they were going back and forth, that damsel that was possessed, right? She told about what Paul and Silas were there doing, right? She told about it. And so Paul was so ate up with it, if you will, he commanded in the name of the Lord Jesus for that demon to come out of her. And then it fell apart in Philippi, didn't it? Well, not fell apart. It came. See, a door of utterance was open there. Paul was then able to get to the jailer. Right? Might have never, ever met the jailer otherwise. See, he was doing what he could and knew to do with what he had in front of him. And then the Lord opened up the avenues to get to somebody he wasn't even thinking of. Okay? So just an example there about that. The door of utterance. The Lord, we need to pray that the Lord will bless in that way and make that when we can make manifest the mystery of Christ. And then in Ephesians, or something I want to we can consider. I'm sorry. In Exodus, take a look over here. Remember this, okay? Brother Jim, I don't know what to say. Okay, well, just say what the Bible says. Okay, don't. Yeah, I understand that. I know what it is to be afraid. I know what it is to be afraid of. I know what it is to be afraid of being made fun of. I know what that fear is. I understand that completely. I know what it is for your old body to get embarrassed. I know what that's like. I tell you what, we need to, with the Lord's help and blessing, we need to plow on through all that and just go on and tell them. Let them know we care. Pray for them. Pray for the Lord to give us that He would enrich us with that. He would cause us to abound with utterance. Good, right way. Sharing the Word of God with those that are around about us. He would open a door of utterance. And we just get over all the junk of this flesh and the junk of this life and tell. Give them a track. Speak to them. Give them a passage to consider. Whatever it is that the Lord would bless with. Well, Brother Jim, I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I don't know what, you know, I'm just not good at talking to people. I get nervous. My hands get sweaty. My feet get sweaty. My head gets sweaty. Everything gets sweaty. You know, all those things. Okay, I want you to remember this. Remember this fella in Exodus chapter 4. Here was a man that was called of the Lord to do a thing. And the Lord is spoke to this man out of a burning bush, right? And he gives him some things that he wants him to do there in front of Pharaoh in Egypt. Verse number 8, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign." Remember, that was leprosy, wasn't it? "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." He said, oh, I got my voice. I've got to talk to him. I've got to say something to him. And Moses said unto the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. I haven't been eloquent up to this point, and I don't expect to be eloquent from this point forward. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" We got to remember that. You see a guy, you see a guy at the pump at the gas station, right? And you pay at the pump now. I don't even go inside. Pay at the pump. Another guy's over there pumping. I look over at that guy, and he's, you know, head taller than me. Looks like go bear hunting with the switch. You know, and then the Lord does it. Okay. So I get a track out of the van. I go over there. "Sir," said, "you got, you know, if I give you something, will you read it?" That's generally what I say. "So if I give you something, will you read it?" He says, yeah, thank you. You know, my looking at him and the way he looks and the way he's kind of grousing around with his trunk and pumping gas and having a bad day, I think he's going to go, get out of here. That's what I'm thinking. But then I go ahead and obey the Lord and get that track out and go over there. And in that just that little bit of time you've got, you can give him that track. He said, well, sure, yeah, thank you. The response is totally different than what I built up in my mind that it would be. Now, and Brother William Peacock, he did that, and he told about that with this burly motorcycle guy, you know. And so the Lord tells him, give that guy a track. He said, Lord, I don't want to give him a track. He looks like he could eat me and give him a track. So he gets a track and goes over there and says, sir, I said, I'd just like to give you something. I'd like you to read this, consider about your soul and the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, the guy's got, you know, earrings and bandana thing, leather vest, and, you know, just big and old burly. And he says, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I've never had anybody give me anything like this before. Brother William thought he's going to take him and just screw him in the ground, you know, through the concrete there at the gas station. But then he's all head up and everything, and he's there in the grocery store, and he went in the grocery store, and I think if I remember it right, they didn't have what he needed. And so then he goes by the counter there, and he says, there's this a seasoned lady, and she's short of stature and older than that, and he just gets him out of track out of his pocket and whips it down there on the conveyor belt and stuff. Said, here, ma'am, read this. And she picks it up and said, I don't want your old stinking trash, any garbage, gospel stuff. I don't want that. Throws it in the trash. And, you know, and then he, you know, but she, her reaction was not what he expected. And he was kind of, he admittedly, I think, would say I was kind of casual and lackadaisical about it. And she threw a fit and then wouldn't let me have my track back, because she was going to make sure she destroyed it and threw it away. That can happen. But remember about your blessing of the Lord when people don't like being told the truth about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to tell it regardless, don't we? And so we need to pray that the Lord will bless us. Who made the mouth? God has. Who is in control of that which is dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? He says, have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. He said, somebody else, Lord. I want somebody else. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You know, we're children. And Moses is a child of God. And Moses was told to do something. We've been given a commission in the Lord's church to go and tell all nations about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses says, get somebody else. I don't want the anger of the Lord kindled at me. Do you? May the Lord help us. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. So the Lord says, okay. Aaron, your brother's coming. He'll just be your mouth. And you know what Aaron was to Moses about the entire time of his ministry? Do a little character study on Aaron. Aaron was a problem to Moses. Not a help. Remember Aaron, the golden calf maker? It just so happens with his fire, gold that goes into it jumps out a calf. Remember that? And, you know, we don't be too hard on Aaron, because we can go that same way. But the Lord said it was to be that you and I are to tell. You know, I can't tell for you. I'm your pastor. I love you. I want to teach you. I want good things for you. But I can't do your telling for you. Now, I'll help you with anybody that you want me to help you with. I will. I'll pray with you about somebody that you want to be a better witness to. But I can't do it for you. The Lord sent you to them. And He sent our church to this region in this area. And we need to obey the Lord. Otherwise, we could maybe end up with a problem. You know the book of Deuteronomy? The book of Deuteronomy is a pretty big book, isn't it? You know how it ended up being anyway? Moses kind of got saddled with Aaron because of what he wanted from God. Aaron was, for the most part, a problem to Moses. And you know what Moses ended up doing anyway? Everything God told him, he told to the people anyway. The whole book of Deuteronomy is Moses preaching to the children of Israel. Go read it. It's, I think, two or three messages that Moses preaches himself, not through Aaron, but himself to the children of Israel. So who made the mouth? Who's commanded us? Who's given us the great privilege to carry the gospel of the Lord to a lost and dying world? Our great God and King, our Savior, has done so. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll just come back here and read this in one other passage. The apostle says, praying always, in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And he said, while you're at it, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. As your pastor, I ask you to pray that for me. Pray that for yourself. Pray that one for another. May the Lord help us. It's daytime now. This is the time to serve. This is the time to be a good witness for our Lord and Savior. We need to be about doing it. We need to be about doing it. Sowing that seed and telling the gospel to sinners. Brother Stephen, in his the Sunday school class that he taught on apologetics, and that's not being apologizing about what we believe or what the Word of God says, but it's that word apologia is talking about having a good answer. We see that here, and I'll just read you this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. What's it mean to sanctify? It means to set apart. Moses was rebuked by the Lord the second time he was at the rock, and the Lord said, not hit the rock, but speak to the rock for water. Moses, being very much challenged with the murmuring and the complaining and disobedience of the people of God, he was yet responsible. He smote the rock and water didn't come out, and he hit the rock again, and the Lord said, you're supposed to speak to the rock. Just that one point of disobedience cost him going into the promised land. So that's pretty tough. The Lord expects His children to obey. He expects us to obey. And what He tells Moses, He said, you didn't sanctify me in front of the people. You didn't do what I told you to do. And that's the reason you're not going to go into Canaan. Sanctify the Lord in our hearts. We have the Lord in there with a bunch of other things that we got all of our sanctified stuff and the Lord's one of them. Or have we set the Lord apart above all in our hearts? Do we have the Lord over there with our family and our children, our spouse? I mean, all those have their place. But the Lord's supposed to be sanctified apart greatest of all. The Lord's above all. We're to love the Lord more than ourselves. We are. And the Lord's given us commandment concerning our family. It's not that we're to hate our family, but we're to love our Lord more. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So, well, Brother Jim, do I have to wait for them to ask? Well, there's going to be some that are going to ask. I pray your life, my life, our lives are different enough that folks would ask. But you know, there's going to be some that won't ask, and we need to go ahead and be a witness to them too. That's not saying just wait till they ask, but saying be ready, be filled, be blessed and prepared and touched by the Lord to have an utterance of the good thing of the Lord that He's done for you. Is the salvation that we've been saved with, is it good enough? Do we want that for others? Or do we just want to hoard that for ourselves? And we need to desire that for others and pursue that for others and pray that for others.